blessing it is to gather again and hear your word. What a privilege it is. Thank you that the word of God is not scarce today. Thank you that you are speaking. And you have a word for us today. And we ask God that you would speak that word to our hearts. Help, we've come and we want to know you more. We want to grow in our faith. We want to be witnesses and shine our light brightly for you. And so as we consider this word on baptism, we ask, Lord, that you would cause us, not for those of us who've received Christ, help us to consider what baptism still means for us. And for those who don't know the Lord this morning, maybe they have never received, they know about you, but they've never accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Maybe they consider what it means to know you and to walk with you and to be filled with your power and be forgiven of sins and that you'd work in their lives, God. And bless those who are making that decision today, who are going to be baptized. Lord, we ask, Lord, your anointing upon them. And so bless this word. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, last week we talked about the baptism of Jesus. So I want to talk a little bit more about that, or at least the baptism that he came to give us. Okay. In fact, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3, and so I'd invite you to turn there if you have your Bibles with you. Maybe for some of you have your Bible on your phone. That's always kind of handy. You just want to turn your phone volume off. We like to draw attention to you when your phone goes off. Anyway, so this is in Matthew, and actually this is before, so last week we talked about Jesus being baptized by John. This is some things that John had spoken in regards to the baptism that Jesus was going to bring, or Jesus came to bring, and how different they are. In fact, the verses that we'll be looking at, verses 10 to 12, and we just have 11 up here, but this is in response to, there were some of the religious rulers that come, and they were inquiring and kind of critical of what John was doing and what John was preaching and what is this baptism all about. And so John, some of these words are in response to them. Certainly it's for anyone that's there, but it was directly addressed to some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came to this baptism, or to what John was doing, baptizing people for the repentance and remission of sins at the Jordan. And so he says, and I'll just pick it up here at verse 10. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so John is, so they have this question about John's baptism, and John's saying, listen, you think this is something. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you about what the baptism that's to come. And so John is presenting or contrasting the baptism that he's offering with the baptism of the one whom he is preparing the way for. Right? Right after this, Jesus comes and presents himself to be baptized. So as we're thinking about baptism this morning, I want to talk about the baptism that Jesus Christ came to bring. And so right here again, he says, I indeed baptize you with water. So John was putting his baptism and what he can do in kind of a perspective, or he's putting it in its proper place. He's not minimizing it in the sense that it's not unimportant. He's saying that this is an important, you know, what he'd been doing is of course important. But he's saying, listen, this is really laying the groundwork or the preparation for this greater baptism. And so he's saying, listen, I baptize with water. This is what my baptism's about. And in fact, what he's saying is, all he could do was prepare people. All he could do, he's saying, this is, what I'm doing is just preparing people. That's all I can do. All I can do is prepare people to receive their true king. He had no power in himself to do anything other than that, but to preach a message of repentance and baptize people in water. He came to prepare the way of the Lord to people's hearts, right? Because that's where the real work has to happen, people's hearts. And so his baptism of repentance prepared that, because repentance prepares that, right? And like we said, John isn't demeaning what his ministry is all about. He's, again, just putting it in its proper place. Water baptism, which we're going to see this today. We're going to be witness, public witnesses of a few water baptisms. Water baptism is an outward demonstration that in and of itself does not change a man. There's no power in the water in this container up here. Now, it's important. We're not demeaning the importance of the water in the container. Okay? This is important. John's baptism had its place. This baptism has its very important place. But it's an outward picture. It's an outward demonstration of a change that has already happened. Right? So, baptizing in water can clean a man on the outside, but cannot clean him on the inside. Right? You know, that, and it reminds us of a little bit about what we can and cannot do, just as even as believers. Remember Paul? He in Corinthians he says, someone waters, or someone plants, someone waters, but what? Only the Lord can make it grow, right? So that doesn't change. Paul understood that. John understood that. There's only so much that you and I can do. We can preach. We can teach. We can lead people to water baptism. We can explain it. We can lead people to outward signs. We can prepare the way, and we should. Amen? We should all be John the Baptist, not me. We should all be like John the Baptist, preparing the way of the Lord. But only the baptism of Jesus can truly change people's hearts. Amen? Only the baptism of Jesus. And that's one of the main points that John the Baptist was wanting to make clear. I can baptize people in water, but I cannot do what Jesus can do. And the baptism that Jesus is bringing is much greater than what I'm doing. I can prepare the way. Now, the word used in the Greek for baptize, it means to immerse, to submerge, to overwhelm. In other words, when you go under the water, you're overwhelmed by the water. And so there's that picture. And there's the reason why, by the way, we practice immersion. Is because that's the better picture. Right? That's the better picture. I've baptized a number of folks in different ways. But what we always try to do, we always try to practice some form of immersion. I remember baptizing Roy Johnson right before he got married. And it was down at the bathtub in the lower building. You went into the tub and the water overflowed the tub and filled the room. It was great. But we made sure, by all means, we're gonna get you in there. Many years ago, it was a men's retreat. We went up to, it was Bob Baggett. Who remembers Bob Baggett? A long time. He had a cabin way out in the Twist area, out that way. And some of you remember Alan Eastridge. Maybe some of you don't, but some of you might. And he asked, I loved it, I always remember this. It was a few of us guys were driving around, just having fun on one particular morning. And Alan just says, this is out of the blue, we're sitting there, we're driving around, and he says, so how do I know if I'm saved? What a great question. I mean, we don't always get the question like that, so we just lead it right in. we tell him about the gospel, and he receives Christ, but you know, we're up way up in Twist. Yes, we could have found a body of water somewhere, but that would have been, he might not have survived that. And they didn't have a tub, so they just have a shower. So we just got him in the shower. We just kept him in the water until every part of him was soaking wet. Okay? No, the challenge is, and I'm not sure how it's going to work out for Frank this morning, because Frank is he's extra tall. So my goal for him is always for somebody of his size, is to not bang his head and put him unconscious. Okay? But then there are some folks, and they have, you know, my dad did. I didn't get my dad's nose because my dad has a big nose. Maybe not anymore. He's in heaven. Maybe everybody's going to have a big nose. I don't know. But in any case, the challenge for some folks is to get him under so that that big nose goes under the water. Don't even say anything. Especially you. Immersion presents the better picture of what this is all about. You know, Jesus referred to his baptism, or to this baptism, when he, in John chapter 3, you remember when he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus has come to him, and he's really interested in what is Jesus all about? What is Jesus' message? And so he goes at night to not draw attention to himself or whatever, and he goes and he has these questions. And remember what Jesus said, starting with verse 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again." And so, so Jesus really, this is really a Jesus referencing this baptism of which John referred to, what John spoke about. You see, John's baptism was kind of like the dress rehearsal. Jesus' baptism is the main event. John's baptism will get you ready, but it won't get you saved. Jesus' baptism will make a guilty man just, will make a dirty man clean, an empty man full, a broken man whole, a poor man rich, a weak man strong, and a dead man live. That's the difference between John's baptism and the baptism of Jesus Christ. Amen? Paul speaks of what it means to be baptized into Christ, of which water baptism is a picture. And this is in Romans 6. And Paul writes, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." How does this relate to what we're about to do this morning? Again, this is a picture. It's a picture one of what Jesus did, and it's a picture of what happens to us. So that's why, again, why we practice immersion, is because Jesus completely died. There's a picture of going into the water. That's a picture of death. Coming out of the water is a picture of his resurrection. So how does that relate to you and I, or the folks that are going to be baptized this morning? Well, that reminds me, I should get a drink of water. Thank you for that little alarm. So what happens to us? Well, Paul is saying this. He's saying, listen, those who are in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. What does that mean? It means that when Jesus died, you died. So what does it have to do with what we're about to do this morning? The picture of Christ going under the water is also a picture of you dying as well. Dying in what way? Well, this scripture is in Romans 6 talks about being about the sin nature or the power of sin dying. Right? So in other words, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for you and I, for our sins, we were in him. Okay? We were in him. And so Paul is saying we died. And what died? The old man died. The sin nature died. Right? Its power, its authority, its strength died. Oh yes, you and I, we still have to put off the old man each and every day. But we are able because of Jesus' baptism and us being in him. We are able to walk in victory. That's a picture coming out of the water. Right? That resurrection 2,000 years ago that we celebrate, we're going to celebrate next week. That's living power. That's his life in us. And just as Jesus rose from the dead to new life, so everyone who is in Christ, who died in Christ, also rose with Christ to new life. We are able to live a life that is new and for God. Amen? And so, there's that picture. Going, again, under the water is a picture of death. His death and our death. Coming out of the water is a picture of his resurrection and our resurrection. Anybody excited about that?
Yes.
You know, your desire, that desire within you to live for God, that's a result of that baptism in Christ. Your desire to learn from God is a result of his baptism and your baptism in him. Because you've been given a new heart, you've been given a new spirit, you've been given a new life. That which compels you to do what is right and to live to the honor of God in spite of the world's thoughts towards you and attitude towards you and hatred towards you, that's a result of the power of his new life in you. Our baptism of immersion is a picture of what happens to a sinner who receives Christ as Savior. So, John says this. He says, again, that Jesus, speaking of Christ, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So in other words, this is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just as the first man, we think about this, we go back to Adam, the first man. Just as the first man was not alive until God breathed his spirit into him. Or go to Ezekiel, just as the valley of dry bones, though the bones were covered with skin, there is no life until God breathes his spirit into them. In the same way, we are all spiritually dead until God breathes upon us the life of his spirit, because in his spirit is life, the life of God. We need a baptism that is greater than John's. Jesus came to bring us that greater baptism. A baptism, not just a baptism of water, but a baptism of the Holy Spirit. This baptism was prophesied. This is Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27. This is prophetic, Christ fulfilling this. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. In other words, this is speaking of this baptism that would come from Christ. He would do this work in us. It would be his spirit, his Holy Spirit in us. One of the blessings that comes with this is that who it's for. In other words, this baptism would not only be for the heroes of the faith, like Gideon and Samson. You read the Old Testament, you see someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, is given this extra power to accomplish something for God, like Gideon and Samson and David. But this baptism is not only for the patriarchs and not only for the kings, and not only for the judges, and not only for the prophets, but it's for all. It's a baptism for all, like the ones being baptized today, regardless of age. It's for all who would call upon the name of the Lord. Think about Acts chapter 2 and verses 16 to 18, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, and all the disciples there in that room were anointed and had the tongues of flame on their foreheads. It signified this invasion of the Holy Spirit into their lives, this endowment of power from on high that Jesus had told them would come if they waited. And Peter, if you remember, he preaches as a result of this new power, and he says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men." Any old men in this room today? Got one, two, honest, three. I was waiting for David's hand to go up over there. Qualified. "Old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit." Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit, and it would be for all who call upon the name of the Lord, young and old, rich and poor. Doesn't matter who you are. This baptism is for all who trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we think about this, because it says this is a baptism of the Holy Spirit upon conversion. This baptism of Jesus is greater than the baptism of John, because only Jesus can baptize a man with the Spirit. Think about the Holy Spirit for a moment. Again, when we think about our own baptism, when we think about the folks that are here today as a testimony of their faith in Jesus and having received Christ, there's this picture here. Think about the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter of believers' troubles. He is the convictor of believers' consciences. He is the earnest or the guarantee of the believer's inheritance. He is the seal of the believer's redemption. He is the witness of the believer's confession. He is the baptizer of the believer into the church. He is the revealer of the mysteries of Christ to the believer. He is the believer's daily companion. He is the believer's daily divine empower. He is the believer's fruit bearer. He is the believer's gift giver. He is the believer's weapon. He is the believer's boldness. He is the believer's teacher. He is the believer's intercessor. He is the believer's strength. He is the Spirit of truth who guides us into the truth of Christ. He is the Spirit of liberty from the curse of the law for the believer. He is the Spirit of unity for the believers. He is the Spirit of holiness. He is the Spirit of adoption. He is the Spirit of the Son. You can have all of this or just water. This is the baptism that Jesus came to bring. A baptism of the Holy Spirit who takes what Christ has done and applies it to the believer. Who takes the death of Christ and applies it to you. Who takes the life, the resurrection life of Christ and applies it to you. The Holy Spirit of God makes you the temple of God. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit that we go forth and tell others and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The act of baptism declares that regardless of who I am or what I've done, I've been changed by the baptism of Jesus Christ. And I think that's real important, by the way. There should be a change. One of the saddest things in the ministry is to baptize people and have them walk away. It happens many times. Only God knows the heart. We're just to respond to someone's confession and baptize them. I've thought about this many times. When should somebody be baptized? It took me a year to get baptized after I was a believer, after I received Christ, because I just wouldn't understand it. But I didn't have to wait that long. That was just me. Because the scriptures say, Peter says, believe and be baptized. They had They, you know, Peter preaching on the steps of the temple. There was baptisms right around the corner. For ceremonial washings. I wondered, well, where did they go to baptize 3,000 people in that moment? I mean, they could have hiked down to the Kidron Valley there or somewhere. No, they were just go right around the corner. There's all these baptisms. Our guy that took us there and saw these baptisms, he said, you know when it's time to change the water when you take a staff and you set it in the water and it stands up on its own. Doesn't sound very clean. I guess it was just symbolic. But Peter said, Peter preached, believe and be baptized. And so, you know what they didn't have an opportunity to do? They didn't have an opportunity to sit down and talk with each and every, all 3,000 of them, and have an interview. They just trusted the Lord, right? They just trusted the Lord. Believed in the work of God. And that is what we do. We prepare the way. We cannot change anybody's heart, but we can prepare the way. We can prepare the gospel. We can preach the baptism of Jesus Christ. We can plant. We can water. But it is the Lord that makes it grow. Amen?
Amen?
But there ought to be a change. We should be changed by the baptism of the Son of God and His Spirit who abides in us. Galatians 3. Verse 27, 28. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And Romans 1, 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. Say power. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. What is the point? The point is that the baptism of Jesus is a baptism of power. A power. It requires divine power to change you. To change you from a sinner to a saint. Amen? It takes the power of God. John's baptism, well, really important in God's plan. That can get you wet. Jesus' baptism transforms you, and you are a changed person. But he goes on, he says that the baptism of Jesus isn't just a baptism of the Spirit, it's also a baptism of fire. It's interesting that, we referred to the disciples in the upper room when the Spirit came, and there was a fire upon each of their foreheads. And that was a symbolic, if you will, of the presence of the Spirit of God in their lives. Fire is often pictured in fire. Jesus' baptism is a baptism of fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So in order to fill you, and this is the challenge, I think, for any one of us that comes to Christ, and for those of us who have, we understand this as we look back and we see the importance of fire in our lives, because in order to fill you, he must empty you. In order to heal you, he's got to wound you. In order to save you, he must slay you. In order to purify you, he must burn you. Malachi chapter 3, this Old Testament, it speaks of a number of places in the scripture that place the importance of fire in the life of his people. Speaking of God, it says, he is like a refiner's fire. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. What is the picture here? What is the point here? The point is that God sits, it says here, sits as a refiner, purifier of silver. In other words, he's taking that piece of metal and he needs to put it in the fire in order to remove the impurities, in order to remove the dross, so it comes out pure. In fact, so pure, and the reason why he sits there, by the way, is because it needs a constant attention. You don't just leave it there and walk away. He is a diligent refiner. He has a picture in mind, and what he wants to do is wants to sit there until his image is reflected in the metal. until he sees himself. And that is the importance of fire. So fire has a place of importance in the life of a believer. And that fire is a part of the baptism. God begins a work in you. It's a work that is about changing you. It's about John dying and Christ living in me. Amen? It's about you dying and his life in you. That's why Paul says in another place, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Right? Paul, in many places, spoke of this refining in his own life. Talked about the thorn in the flesh. He prayed that God take it away. And Jesus said, no. My grace is sufficient for you. What was he saying? This is for your good. This is for your refinement. This is for your purity. This is so that I can see my image in you more perfectly. And that is what he's doing with all who are baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. His baptism is a baptism of the Spirit and fire. His baptism is searching, testing, trying, purging, pruning, searing, refining. Problem is that many want to be saved, but they don't want to be burned. Right? Can you take it a little easy on my flesh, Lord? Absolutely not. No way. Because he died for them. So the baptism of Jesus will not leave you as you are. I think that's one of the reasons why what's implied here is, remember those that came to Jesus and said, I'll follow you? And Jesus said, where do you think I'm going to lay my head tonight? That? No, you can't take that pillow with you. You're going to lay your head down where I lay my head down. Oh, but we got to cover it. We got to deal with some things back home. Not if you're going to follow me now. Right? And he laid down what it meant to follow him. And we all want to kind of follow him, but kind of have an easy way. How can I follow the Lord and be comfortable and air-conditioned? And life is kind of, you know, I'm not saying we come out and say this, but is it back there somewhere? I think it is. I'm, to be honest with myself, I don't want a lot of turbulence in life. You ever been on a plane? And you want smooth sailing and no problems, and check in, check out, go, 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 and you know, that just isn't the way it is if you're going to follow the Lord. But the Lord will be with you. And that makes all the difference. Amen? Because he sits there with you, refining you. Jesus' baptism will not leave you as you are, but change you as fire removes dross and makes silver. For us to submit to believer's baptism is really to say, Lord, change me. Just change me. Make me what you want me to be. Without conditions, without strings attached. Just change me, use me, make me what you want me to be. I want to honor you. I want to reflect your image. And I know that in order to do that, it's going to take some heat. It's interesting, isn't it? John talking about his baptism of water baptism, Jesus is referring to Jesus' baptism as a baptism of fire. In fact, it says it speaks of fire three times. John mentions fire three times. Because fire works both ways, doesn't it? It either purifies or it destroys. And so John is referring to the two ways in which fire works. It either purifies and refines and perfects, or it destroys. And so he's speaking, as he speaks to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they've kind of already had their minds made up. They were rejected. Not only had they rejected John's baptism, but they were ready and primed to reject Jesus' baptism too. And Jesus, John says to them, "And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And then verse 12, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Fire three times. So baptism, water baptism being a picture of the baptism of Jesus, a baptism of spirit, and a baptism of fire. And when we think about fire, the question for all of us is, am I willing to be changed? Am I willing for God to get a hold of my life and do what he wants with it? To honor himself and to glorify himself through my life. Is that not what our lives should be about? Pointing people to the one who forgives sin. The one who is merciful. The one who is gracious. The one who has opened the ways of the way to heaven for us. Is that not the one we should make known? But John warns those who reject this baptism of fire will experience fire in another way. And for those who do not know Jesus, he came to save you from sin and judgment. He will baptize you with spirit and fire if you trust him. And the warning is, all men are going to face the judgment of God. You can face it alone, and you will bear your own judgment. Or you can face it with Jesus, in whom you've been baptized and raised to new life. For those who know Jesus, when you trusted in Christ, this is the baptism that you've received. Are you walking in its power? Are you walking in his power, in his life, in his glory? Can it truly be said of us, here is one who has obviously been baptized, submerged, overwhelmed by the baptism of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, obviously been baptized in the Spirit and fire. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. God, as you've led us to think some these thoughts about baptism and how important it is that we understand to some degree, of course, you know what this is about. And we've got some folks that are older, and we've got some that are younger, and we trust, Lord God, and we believe that you are doing a work in their lives, and we're excited this morning to participate and to witness their public confession. And we ask, God, that you would just abide here with us in this time, be glorified through their testimony and through our praise of the work that you have done in them and the work that you've done in us. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know you, that they would realize that they need a Savior, that they would realize that Jesus Christ came to save them from their sins. Take their judgment, their punishment upon yourself, and that they can have your life in them and your love and your entrance into the kingdom of God. So God, we just want to invite you here, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in this place, working in our hearts, working in our minds and our thoughts, blessing those that are coming forward today. Be glorified in it all, Lord God. May there be in some way that picture of the dove descending and the Father saying, "Behold, my Son." Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.